We had a fantastic time in Leiden. It was a great time for the 20th anniversary of the church. It was a life-changing time. It was an inspiring time. It was an authentic time for the church. And what it did for my heart was to repeat in me that no matter where we are missionaries in Jesus Christ. The other thing with us are missionaries here, with the disciples, there are going to keep on sharing that news, because there are still people out there that need to hear the gospel. But I must say, you know, before I left, I was so excited about leaving. We got to the airport on the 7th of July. I go to the harbor and meet my dear pastor, my brother, sir. I go to the airport, my wife, pastor, was taken to an old woman. I go to the airport, I'm in sixth grade, took my own passport, and there you are at the airport with Michelle, telling me that I do not go on this trip. And so Jacob was really going after me. I think I was discouraged. And then I had to call Ben, called Sebastian Fletcher. And so I'm having to go my daughter from school, and then she stays here. I went home, about to go home, got my new passport, and then I got a virgin very that night. Luckily, transmission was around, so Charles and my wife were on the same day as myself. I said, take that, here you go, I'm going on. So, and it was good that we came to the airport to encourage me. But you see, it's amazing how God works, because there's a beautiful place to pray. In that airport, it was also going to catch my time from the 5. I was looking for a place to pray in the airport, I must say. And I saw this multi-faith room. And I went in there, and I went into the multi-faith room, but no allowances were made for Christians. So I was very disappointed. I must say, I was very, very disappointed, because it was mostly, it was specifically made for people from Islamic faith, and he said it was a multi-faith room. I was so shocked. So I looked around again, and luckily, as I was walking around, I saw James Abadi from the South Center and a brother from the Chicago Church who was flying to Nigeria to take place with me to attend a wedding and come for the anniversary service. So we looked for another multi-faith group together, and we had a beautiful temple, you know, a little church there, dividing, you know, the Israelites and the Christians. We do the birthday, and we had a time of prayer. So time of Shabbat, definitely encourage ourselves. But I got to tell you, that's the makeup, so the rainy season. But I must say, our God is different. If there's anything on my heart, I really want to thank the faith of Douglas also and the early brothers and sisters of this church for their sacrifice and the teenagers who shall choose and broke the world record so they could find the church in Jesus Christ. And today, you know, I must say, well, this is a, you know, and I must say that when we think about our churches all over Africa, it is incredible to see what God has done in just a short time in 20 years. In God's eyes, I've been 20 years in a short time. 20 years or not, it's a short time. And you know, we have churches in Accra, in Princeton, Sierra Leone. We have churches in Banjul. These are Muslim countries. Banjul, Gambia. We're talking about Banjul, Gambia. We have a church in the south, which is the poorest city in Africa. We've got churches. These are Muslim countries. You know, we've got churches in Conakry, another Muslim city. A multicultural church. We've got church in Zamenda, Cameroon, with 33 disciples. We've got people in Douala, in Yaoundé. In Kenya, we have 1,480 disciples in Nairobi, Kenya. God is working. You know, as we've got like in Jogo, nearly 1,600 disciples. In Lagos, nearly 1,600 disciples. We've got even people in Monrovia, Liberia. And so when you think about what God has done in 20 years, you say, God is amazing. God has done, you can only give God the glory for what He has done. We can take the credit. God gets all of the credit. And I must say, as you mentioned, we were part of what we call the West African Leadership Conference. We had one, I got to speak on building yourself up in your strength. It was a separate class. And then on the Sunday, I was able to speak to the whole congregation, the Christians. We had 4,000 in attendance on Sunday. It was at a very meeting place. And I had the honor to just do the feast, which was in its strength. And then afterwards, I prayed for the communion, you know, which was there. It was just, I tell you, the guys, I was in tears. I was just moved by God to see what God has done. You know, many of the pastors are coming up. Brother, you remember, you know, when you did the feast study, I said, I can't remember. Brother, you remember when you came to the
because I cannot remember.
But I remember. Amen. You know, God is good. But when you go back and you recount, you say that you cannot stop.
Or what would you?
We've got a few more minutes, but you cannot stop. It was amazing just to see the heart of God and sister. Let me tell you something. Nigerians know how to heart.
Oh, I gotta tell you guys, I'm not only saying that I don't want to put on weight, but you know when you go up there. We stayed with a couple, I mean the hospitality was great.
From the time we arrived there, it was meals and you know, back in the UK we only have breakfast and a light lunch and dinner.
But over there you had the breakfast, it was a big lunch, it was a big lunch, and
he's getting to work.
So Thursday, we arrived at the conference, you know, it was fresh for lunch, for the delegates. I mean, this is just everything.
Friday, the next one, it's a spread.
Saturday evening was a market for the delegates. Rome said, you need to know, actually,
Sunday after church, there was a banquet. They said, everyone who played the speakers, there was a banquet. Then after the banquet again, there was a chance for Africa, which I'm going to be this year. That is raising money for children in Africa and sending them to universities.
And so the money is collected, and then the administrator takes the money directly to the students.
After that, the doctors are not going anywhere. Bola has to go, Bola has to rest, you know, in terms of my health. So they told me, as I said, you're going to come and give a little speech right here. I said, I didn't know about it. I said, okay, come along.
So after this summit started, before the campus of the church, they said, okay, we want to put on our own 20th anniversary at Santa Clara.
So yeah, after the one pastor after the church, there was another one again. Everything laid out there, it can be made alive.
But I tell you, it was a start.
You know, the Sunday service is 4,000 people with friends of this with people on that church. It was an incredible time.
The church came with a massive cake. It was the 20th anniversary. It was massive.
The size of two of those cakes was
massive.
You know, sorry, massive cake, you know, well, you see, for me, it was a joy. It was still that kind of thing that, don't you want?
You are awesome. You know, and as I started thinking about the churches that were going out, that were gone out, the faithful disciples, it dawned on me, you know, that we are not doing what we're doing. We are not done.
There is still a lot of work that needs to be done.
You know, as I came back to the UK, I started to pray for the UK. That as many of us are here today, we have got to help evangelize this nation. If we live here, we've got to help evangelize this nation.
It's true. You know, I think about Nigeria, it's there, they got one church, they got 11 churches.
And yet, in the next couple of months, they're going to set up another pair to local areas. And so I look at the UK and I'm kind of thinking, man, if I live here, I am going to be an inspiration or two to help evangelize this country. Many churches have come and gone there, and so we've got to open up our eyes here. There is a lot of work to be done.
You know, there were many classes. Where did you begin? Where did you begin? I mean, we were just there. The fellowship was incredible. And then on Friday, which is when we get, there's a carrying the DVD, which we're going to show it to the whole church.
Of the anniversary service. You know, and we stood there, all of you understand that the governor of Lagos State was invited, the representative came, one of the directors came, she was standing next to us, sitting next to us. One of the kings, the Madame King, another city in Lagos, sent his second in command of the Soviet Union, came to the service, and we prayed for them because in this town of Badagi, where the first and spaceship came, some of them in the king's court actually studied the Bible in Badagi. Not just one, not just two, but a couple of them.
You know, sir, there was another chief in Lagos who came with his robots invited to the church. So there were so many things he said, and he just said, God, you are awesome. The church being revived, God is doing amazing things. You know, sir, I don't say, we go to the street of Sudan, you see that man.
You are good. We have Richard Alawai from the Atlanta Church. Mitch used to be in Lagos from New York.
We have Leah Day from the San Antonio Church, Church with Mike. He had an accident, two of his impacts went all the way to the. He was hanging out on the stretcher, back to San Antonio, going to be having surgery. On Friday, playing basketball. Bob Nickham's gone.
Came for an emergency service, he goes up, Nickham's go.
Actually, so as much as you are there, friends of a great time, say for those who want to know the fact.
We had a brother from South Africa just arrived and speaking to us. And so, it was just an incredible time of fellowship. Lagos Church now has four elders couples. These were couples that were baptized when we were here.
And we praise God for that. No, actually, one of the brothers was actually baptized in a new big ministry. He's very relaxed. That one,
he's one guy. So we have the Sagan, more young than 17 with us right now. We have Magbe, and he's in there.
But we have the church of four elders and their wives.
And you see the church growing, stability. When you sit out and kind of wonder, that's just starting the seed of it. And it started in 1997 when I just came up on the stage. There was just looking at one side and another who fell away from the church. And God said, someone said, you guys are looking in the church in Nigeria. And we said, what are you talking about? Well, you need visionaries to give you vision. You need people to awaken your vision. We need you to do great things for God. I know God resistance. You know, many of us who are sitting here thinking, if God finished with you, God still has a lot of work to accomplish in your life. If we don't do it, you use somebody else. But we don't want to become, history, not us. We want to make history. We don't want to become history. We are going to keep on going and going and going. And, you know, when you look at the church, if there was anything that moved me in the state of our nation, Nigeria is a very corrupt country. I saw poverty like I've never seen before. I saw Africans flashing by in 1 minute, and then another moment, I saw Africans flashing by. You talk about anybody who mentioned on earth, you find it on the streets of America. And we have bad words. You understand? Everybody is a generator. Pollution is why? Because you can't get constant water or constant light. But these are things we have to do. One of my main messages to the church today is if you cannot allow the world to affect the church. I don't care what you have in your business or what. I have to tell you as it is. Because we are going to remain pure as a fellowship. The Bible says we are strangers here in reverent fear. So I preach the message. Many want to come. Let's talk about Joshua. Joshua chapter 2. I could go all around the Lord for the sake of time. Let's just look at the scriptures in Joshua. Everybody in Lagos sends their God. When they hear about the Lagos church, when they hear about the London church, they are inspired. You know, when we mention the team members of ours, Andy Foss is now in the North Center. He was one of the English brothers that came with us. Andy Foss was on the mission. Yemi Lawa, we speak about the teenager, he went there and baptized his mom. So as they were presenting part of one case, or yet we have to collect the class. No one was there in the mission. The CEO of Sage, Eric Azariah, Tony Adana. We have Oginda, she was converted as a Muslim. The elders of the church, Haggai, was one of the two Muslim guys in the middle who sent us to come and move his daughter from the church where we were having sacrifice, but we persevered. And before he reached the dad, invited the whole class over to pray, you know, show my daughter that to come and see anyone else. Oginda died in Ghana. She died on the mission church. No minutes. These are their points. You know, it's amazing, you know, Claire along in the rivers and the south sector. She was another country sister who came. She would go to Broadway. When she went over there, she had a sister who had never been to Nigeria before. She was bathing outside in a corrugated iron bathroom. That is the mission thing. She would wear her slippers and jump on buses and taxis. There was a very stamp on the gearbox of a car. All the way to another part of it. You see, that is the mission field for you. When you look back and you see, it was all about saving souls for Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible asked me there, he says, we kind of catch it, he said, what did you say? I said, this is awesome. I said, for me, I get excited when I'm in dangerous situations. I said, if not for my kids, I'll do it again. It's just the blood. I'll do it again. I'll do it again for my kids. I will do it again. I'll do it again. Because, you know, there is something exciting about it. When you see faces and lives and pictures, you say, this is awesome. But in Joshua, as we celebrate Jesus Christ, two of the things that left the church in Joshua chapter 3. Let's talk about Joshua chapter 3. Joshua 3. Joshua chapter 3. You know, many of our brothers and sisters are coming over here. You know, the things that are coming here, many of them travel here. Well, you know, my message is, we are going to help about the life. If we are here, we help about the life. Great. I came to that conclusion. If I'm living here, I'm going to have to have that conclusion because this is my mission field. I'm not in Lagos. If I'm in Nigeria, that's my mission field. But here, this is our mission field, brothers. This is our mission field. And we're going to briefly now, you know, just evangelize this mission and see that there is work to be done. You know, one thing that I told them, And, you know, 20 years old, you know, this church in London has been around there for 27 years. Where, of course, of those people that came from Boston, was it 8 of them or 18 of them to come and plant the London church? Was it 8? 18 went to Lagos. 2 of them baptized in the first year, 6 fall away. The following year again, double Jesus baptized over 100, less fall away again. One of the things that is a lot of the people that were baptized in Lagos while we were there, that are raised up to them, still have 75% to 80% of them still within the Lagos church. Faithful, doing well, leading down the course. You see, we are going nowhere. When Joshua, you know, in his strength, he says, I can do everything through him with his strength. I can do all things through him with his strength. I have strength for all things in Christ, who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him, who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. That's the amplified Bible. That was the theme of the conference. And yet, as I spoke to the church, I left them with two challenges. I said, we celebrate him for the way that he has worked and moved to bring his soul to salvation. We celebrate our God for the door that he has opened. We celebrate him for the change of sin that he has broken. And then I said, we celebrate him for marriages, for children. And yet, as we celebrate him, I told the church, we have come to a crossroads in our nation, a crossroads in the church. One of my biggest battles that when I spoke to the church about was we cannot allow the Nigerian society, their written tradition, to influence and infect the church. I said, we're 50 years now. But I said, if we don't stay close to God and we don't stay holy, this church ain't going to nowhere. And I had to speak to them on a Wednesday about loving God and loving Israel. Because I think, you know, as a church, traditions start to creep in, you start to hear things and feel, if you're not close to God and His word, then the church becomes a worldly church. God cannot move within simple bounds. These are the difference in a society that has no infrastructure. Where there's so much business, I was calling the disciples, stood up there and said, I said, guys, from the business end of the fellowship, I pray to God, we're not getting right. Because before God, our bribery is a sin. You can't call yourself a Christian, because your testimony will not be powerful. I stay with the brother. The brother I stayed with was a Nigerian guy who came to BC. This guy was working for a bank, you know, in Lagos City. He was a 12,000 counselor. He gave up and he said, for the day that works, going to be saved, he won't go. That's the guy, we said. I sat down and said, well, that's one thing, but he said, you know, people do not like it. People do not want to do business with it because when you do a contract in Nigeria, you go to give something. Everybody wants to come. He said, for the time I was in the back, I don't feel like it because they need that he is, so he won't give you a cost. They gave him the contract, he gave the guy the money, the bank said, is that all? He said, yes. The guy came up in the door and said, is that all? He said, yes. Before he came, there was a big fridge in his house. He sent the fridge back. Because they thought this is a disciple, I don't think that. I challenge the church. Because as much as there's poverty, as much as there's hardship, we do not compromise on our conscience. No, I have to tell the church. And I said, you know, guys, you know, we came here, we sacrificed, we stood our ground, but we're not going to allow anything to confuse our conscience. And you know, for us here in London, what are those things that we've compromised on? That will stop us. In Joshua 3, my first point was remain in God's presence. If you look at Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. Joshua 3, 1. You know, right there, God has fought for the Israelites. The Egyptian army was destroyed. They left with articles of gold they did not work for. They were fed miraculously in the desert daily by God. Water came out of the rock to quench their thirst. Their clothes and sandals did not wear out. They had experienced God in ways that were real and relevant, and yet they are not reached the promised land. You know, for us brothers and sisters here in the Southeast, we have not reached the promised land yet. There is work to be done on our hearts. And so in Joshua 3, we read in verse 1, it says, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are moved out from your position and followed. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. but keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and God. Do not go near it.
Joseph to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you.
Joseph said to the priests of the Ark of the Covenant, and passed ahead of the people, so they took it up and went ahead of them. You know, brothers and sisters, right here we see a nation of millions of people, Israel.
God did a miracle to take them out of Egypt.
God right now is going to do another miracle to get them into the promised land. And so we see them crossing the River Jordan,
and it stops to cross the water.
And he said, first and foremost, the Ark of the Covenant has got to go before him. All the Ark of the Covenant. It was a symbol of God's presence. Here we see the Ark. The Bible says the Ark was built to hold the Ten Commandments. How many of us have seen the Ark of the Ark? And when that thing opened, isn't that right? So give me an idea. Now, I don't know what it looks like, but give me an idea. You know, just a magical castle. But there was something powerful about the Ark.
Uzzah crushed the ark. And God said, nobody should touch the ark. Uzzah crushed it. He tried to raise it from falling. God struck him down.
That's God's right. That's God's presence. Don't touch me. If I get destroyed, I'll fix that. He told Uzzah, this was the example of God. Don't touch me. Don't touch the ark.
Uzzah said, oh God, I'm doing you a favor.
Hear me. It symbolized your commandment. It was Israel's most sacred office. When Israel, before Israel went into war, the ark went before them. When the ark went before them, there was victory. When they were sitting in the camp, they lost battles. And I think, you know, I believe that for us as a fellowship here, I think we need to prioritize our relationship with God. There's going to be a priority here. You know, in the church in Lagos, they had 14 days of fasting. You know, we fast, you know, we pray. But our personal devotion to God is of utmost importance.
It is of utmost importance.
I know one thing that says, he told Joseph to do, consecrate yourself.
What of consecrate? Separate yourself.
You're going to be different.
Be holy because I am holy, for God says.
He said, be different. Consecrate yourselves. How do you consecrate yourselves? By getting to the Word of God. Isn't that right?
In the Word of God.
Purifying our hearts. Confessing sin. You know, there was a brother came up to me. I was discipling in Lagos. You know, one of my best friends. Discipling back in the ministry now. And he came up to me and said, brother,
we're having a meeting this morning. I'm enjoying my meeting. He said, you know, I've got something to confess.
He said, you know, many years ago, I know I broke with a sister and kind of asked me about a certain sin. And this is the thing that happened like 53 years ago. I lied. So I said, hey, brother, I'm for you. Amen. I was enjoying my meeting to the side. I said, that's for confessing. You confess to God. Amen. I don't know who you are. But I appreciated that part. Because it was something that was bothering his heart for these many years. You know, guys, how open are we? This is God's church. Is there any hidden sin that people don't know about in our lives? Because one sin will go back to act. One sin will go back victory in your church.
That's what you meant. One sin will go back victory in your church.
And some wonder, God, I don't want to be the one, hey, to shut down, you know, to bring about a curse of God's church or God's blessings. You know what I'm saying? I want to keep on confessing my sins. We don't know. We are going to be open. And Joshua said, he commanded to consecrate yourself. He said, because the next day, God was going to do amazing things. Brothers and sisters, you know what? Sin is a reproach to anything that is holy. And so, one of my points was, remain in God's presence. Idolatry is putting anything before God. And, you know, when I think about this something, no brothers are giving up God's.
You understand?
Take your jobs.
Need your memory.
You understand?
How much of
I need? You understand? I gave it a lot. I love the fruit of it.
But you know, when you look back, it was for a cause. We consecrated ourselves.
Before we left here, there were devotions. We spoke about witchcraft. We spoke about some of the things that people's parents were involved in the past. We said, we go to Lagos. We don't care witchcraft. We don't care anything because God is a lot more powerful and the Holy Spirit is a lot more powerful than what we have right here. And so we'll get out there street preaching. If the woman said he will come from me, we'll get out there street preaching, there will be the duty man over there, I will get out there, I will preach the word. Why? Because God is on my side. There was a fearlessness about because we knew what we came. But see, that's the power of the gospel. That is the power of a holy life. You know, we spoke about equality, that about the church that doesn't grumble or complain. When we talk about the standards of Jesus. We spoke about that because there's a lot of God says do everything without complaining or arguing. You know, when we look at our fellowship here, we cannot lose our gratitude for the cross. We cannot lose our gratitude for the cross. Every disciple that came up, brother, it was worth it. Thank you. Sister, thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Whoa, thank you for your time. I was so proud of us, brother. We haven't done anything. We have not done anything. Because of God. You know what? See, back when we understand this, there is a lot of God. God wants to use you. Not just me. He wants to use you. Well, I've been used in the past, and God used me again. Yes, God can use you again. Are we going to remain in friends? Our battle can only be one on one for us. It can only be one on one. As you look around us, it takes prayers to, you know, to be able to deal with a lot of sins or things that face you. Lagos is a city that is full of idols, that is full of churches in every corner, that is full of petty evangelists. You know, one of the things I call the church, or the Muslim, my next point, was the preaching of the doctrine. As we consecrate ourselves on the Wednesday, I said, one of the biggest things that we are facing in our churches today, we're really going to watch out for, is the issue of false doctrine. I said, if we are a church that goes with everything in line of every doctrine out there, we're going nowhere. So I thought about, you know, early days of the mission team in Lagos, God gave me all the mission team members, and then one week, 2 weeks there, I put out a daily gospel test for every team member. Every team member. I did that. Everything that we have done. I'm going to say that there were some talks for those who didn't get 90% of the body. We have some talks. Because I said, when you're in a battle, you are going to be fully engaged. And the only answer we had was the word of God. Am I right? But, you know, people didn't work. I hear the church challenge again on Wednesday. They said, you know what, guys? Our churches are not going anywhere if we're not in the word of God. Let me talk to our question. A couple of weeks ago we had that gospel. I didn't want to see a show of hands. You know what I'm saying? Some of us did, some of us did not do that gospel. I want to encourage you. Passion comes from the word of God. You know, a guy said that I told you a very good idea. A brother asked me, brother, what gives you have passion? I said, I'm not a perfect man. I said, I love the word of God. So I do what I see in the Bible. I'm not perfect. I'm not dead. Why I said I read my Bible. I memorize my scriptures. That's where my passion comes from. And so, I don't go with the majority. I always go by the word of God. Whether a million are against me, or I'm sitting by the Bible says, this is the way it's going to be, that is the stance I take. I'm not a guy that is deficient because of the word of God. But how are we going to be the world? Leaders and disciples, if we're not in the word of God. Yeah. No, I left that church. I left that church. I left that I called the church and said, I want everyone of you to do God's work for today. The original gentleman said, you know what? By the time you do, next month they're going to start God's work. And I said, yeah, let's go for it. Because brothers and sisters, if we're not in the word, for I was telling some of these people, I heard that there was some people in the church who said, I don't want to carry the gospel. And you're a disciple of Jesus, and you don't want to do like that, or the word of God. I'm concerned for your life. This is God's church. It's not a social club. I don't get anything from this. It's not right. If Jesus is the holy Jesus, what I do, I tell the purity of God. What would Jesus say? He calls us to be disciples, to love his word, to love his, to love his words. Remain in God's presence. Point number two. Remain our partner. You know, Joshua 4 verse 1 to 7. He told these priests to carry massive stones on their shoulders, representing for every tribe, so that everybody could remember what they were doing. God wanted them to go to great lengths to remember what he had done after he had come to Jordan. You know, as a church, We have reached the stage where we go start training our children to take over the pulpits. Our children in the future have got to take over the pulpits. If we are not prepared, we cannot pass it down. 4,000 people get there and say, we are going to train our children to take over the pulpits. You know, in the school, he says, you know, these things you are doing today, tell it to your children. You know, many years ago, we went up to Carolina on the Olympics because of the holiday. And Bola and I were still having that. Many of us were having that. This was there. And we just shared our conversion story. Now, how are you people? We just like that. I came from a very gentle, Asian, sinful background. I was telling them as a kid, I said, you did that? I said, yes. You smoke? Yes. Why? You have been young? Yes. Well, you know what you do for them? For praise God for the cross. You see a witness about what the power of God can do. How can you share your conversion story with you? What stories are you telling about our mighty God in the church? Not just this thing, but what are you telling your kids about the church? Why do you know about the religious life? How do our kids fit in? Do they know the history of the church? Do they know how God has worked in his fellowship? You know, brothers and sisters, we need to get to the stage where we're going to remember, push us to remember to put our faith in God and not in man. You know, these are stories of God. We are God of great, great souls that we need to have. We are an Asian church. And yet we ask ourselves the question, how are we aging? Am I aging? You know, is my life getting better and bolder? Or is my life getting weaker and weaker? How am I aging? How am I aging? You know, people look at me, oh man, what are you to say? Because when you go great hair, I said, amen. But I said, what is the meaning that is what matters? Well, you know, the oldest one looked 15. He was in his father's house, but the guy got bitter. How are we aging as a fellowship? Are we getting bolder? Are we getting more faithful? Or are we aging and just getting bitter? No, we've got to keep a fresh gratitude towards the cross. Devotion to his word on the daily basis. There's going to be a freshness about our lives. That we, you know, that we keep in step with the Spirit. And God is saying, amen, I can do amazing things through you. When I think about the name of disciples, the thing that brought me here, you know, my mom, God, I come home, my mom knows that she's got a set of time. And I knew that she's a woman of the professional school class. So the first one is my mom here. And yet I get stories here. Disciples are traveling 2 hours to come to a church service. On the day we had 4,000, that day, there were some litters, but the church started at 10 o'clock, and let me tell you something, 75% of the hall was full for 8. Some of them had woken up at 7 or 8 in the morning. Some of them 6:30 just to get there with their night clothes on. And I said, what devotion. Can I tell you, church, as I close out, one of our biggest problems in this nation is comfortability. We get so comfortable that many of us don't know what hardship is. There's a comfortability about us. About how we find God's fellowship, how we keep God's fellowship, and just how we walk in life. I've got to tell you, comfortability, what it does, it can take away from us from our gift of God and the gift of salvation. Because things are very easy. When you're in a hard situation, then you can make sure that God has going to give it back. There are many distractions. You know, in Lagos, you don't find people who play football on a Sunday. Every Sunday, you find people, most of the time, with their mind, going to church. And I think, man, it's not because of their mind. If everybody goes to church, I can't think, man, there are hardships here. But when it comes to the word of God, people will go to left because people are searching and looking for something. You're talking to people. I spoke to a brother in the church, come on to dinner. By the time you convert the amount of money, you can make like 24,000. That's not. Oh no, or 48,000. That's not. Or joy. One of the brothers. Excited at the airport with his faith, and I'm going to do it. I got so convicted about the gratitude of the disciples, I just have to zip my mouth and I just have to get fired. I just have to get excited. These are our brothers and sisters. And so, church, as we remember that we need to remember the great riches we have at our fellowship. Life in this country can be very, very easy. Oh, well, I don't have a job. Your life is still easy. Most of the time, guys, this generation, one morning I woke up, this is the person that we're living with. They have a massive generator for the air conditioner, then you have one for the cars. At 12 o'clock at night, the generator goes off. So all you're left is the mercy of the mosquito net, a front of the window, and still here and living it. And every morning you wake up with a bucket of hot water. The gentleman said, we'll bring it to our door or one of the houses. You know, that's one of the details about that. People come and work with you, their cooks and houses. I said, so they bring you a bucket of water to take out. You know, one more lesson said, bad this. I showered in cold water. Because I just got convicted. Everybody, bucket of cold water. Well, you know, for many of us, we know where we're from. But on our part, we are willing to carry the sauce. And I think it's time for us, guys, not to sit on the fence. If you call yourself a disciple, live the life of a disciple. Don't play games with words. Because I think we're playing games with words here. If somebody sat down with you today and said, let's do the discipleship study, what would be the conclusion after the study?
Right.
I ask myself the question all the time. You see that one thing and say, hey, are you a disciple? After the conclusion of every study, I want to say, hey, you are ready to die. I think, after so many of the things I'm talking about in our fellowship, what example do they see? You know, brother, in the church of Jacob, I told this story. There was a sister in the Jacob church who had had challenges in her life. And it so happened that a situation came up. When the previous wife in the idea, a lot of them, sharing the way of faith, getting a lot of abortions. They came about to a disciple, had a tumor and a baby in her, and sponsored an issue. And the doctor said, you're going to abort this baby. She said, no, I'm a disciple now. Before I was a disciple, there were 20 abortions. This one here, even if it kills me, I'm not going to kill this baby. You know what? She died. You see, that is the testimony of all of the world. Of preaching example. You know, when I hear that, no, that is a disciple. Because I don't know, you know, the doctors might be wrong, but I don't know. And the doctor said, you know, this child is going to be said, you know what? So be it. Or she died and she was sad. You see, brothers and sisters, are you going to put your life on the line? Are you willing to put your life on the line today? Are you going to die for a cause? Ladies of church, we have devotion here for 6 months. Now, I know that, you know, I'm getting better and better, but actually, man, I was there. I was feeling full on an intent. Now, what is kind of stopping those eggs because the package is getting better and warmer and softer? But let me tell you something, when we listen to the question, guys, we are on a war mission. We are on a mission. This is war. When we arrived in Lagos, they were right. I said, guys, we are going out to share our faith. They were right. Cars being smashed. I said, okay, guys, let's jump into the car. We go. That's what we came here for. It was a good exercise. Because our first sister who was baptized in the church, that was one of our missions out there. Then there's a few friendships, many, many people came through us. But we are on a mission. We are all on a mission. A mission willing and ready to die. Charles Bonito reached out to a Muslim guy. And the guy pulled out a knife in a country car and said he was going to kill Charles. Poke his eyes. Many times, Alex and Edina and us, we got stopped on the road because they wanted to drive, because they saw a camera with him. And they were delayed by the side of the road for nearly an hour. But we said, no, we're not preaching, we're Christians, we don't give fire. And then after an hour, or 1.5 hours, they would say, go. No. We know it. We speak our language. And we will do it again. And so I encourage my church that we are going to take a step. understand.
Anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted.
For the message of discipleship cannot just be one of
Christians. You've got to live it.
You have got to live it.
That's what I call it today.
You know, we have part two of that video. When I look at it, I'm looking for it.
My body feels. And I said, you know, all this is coming, doesn't really matter. How will my kids know, you know, how will my kids, when they grow up, they look at their parents here, their parents were sinners, and we all sinners, I'm a sinner. But I want my kids to go up and say, the faith of my parents was a living faith. It wasn't textbook, it wasn't academic, it wasn't theoretical. We saw pain, we saw repentance, it was real.
And so, families, I speak to you today. What are your families like? Is it a haven of God, of discipleship, or is it a social club where challenges cannot be raised about being a disciple?
Is that what it's all about?
Or is it one where, what does Jesus call us to do? That's what we need.
I look at my son. I've done this for 40 years. And I just feel like I'm going to take this to bed. If I don't take this step by day, it's going to be good.
Now I've got to be cautious. I've got to be getting convicted.
When something happens, I've got to apologize. I don't know what I'm going to say.
We're having this talk. He's my brother in Christ.
But when I see myself, I feel I can be there for every single young man in the church.
Well, guys, our example, we shut the doors of faith in the eyes of these young men.
And so, guys, we are mission. We are the pastor.
And I call upon us today to start dreaming, even if you cannot go on a mission field. Pray for the person that will plant the castle.
Pray for the person who will plant that castle again. Pray for the person who will plant Bristol again and Cardiff. Pray for the person who will plant these churches in Aberdeen and over the UK. Pray for these people. If you cannot put your hair, pray for us and pray that God will do amazing things. So what are we going to do? We're going to remain in prayer. And we're going to remember and we're going to pass this great message on. 20 years for me is young.
God did it. I didn't do anything. God just used a simple blessing to bring about glory to his
name. And I believe in the Psalms where we are, let's be a people of God.
A heart of God that says, I will stretch myself to the all that God wants us to be.
Again, I want to thank God for telling us.
But God enjoys forgiving us the vision. Many of you, some of you are around for thankfully sacrifice.
We are here now. Let people sacrifice to see this world finalized in our generation.